Biggs. Biggs Time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs Time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs. Biggs Time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you got the story. You're all over it. Loved your 10 thoughts this morning. I think the first one bears maybe our attention, given what was expected. Again, you know, unreasonable expectations probably from Caleb Williams. And you talk about how the wow plays that he made in the preseason were kind of outside the pocket. We saw a different version of him. Obviously, Tennessee wanted him in the pocket. And we saw some batted passes and we saw some pressure on the quarterback. And they've got a really good pair of defensive tackles that wreaked havoc.
Yeah, they just they never got in rhythm offensively. They really struggled to run the football. They didn't get that going really at all until the very end when DeAndre Swift had that 20-yard run. Going into the fourth quarter, I believe Velus Jones and Caleb Williams were their leading rushers with 11 yards apiece. And they didn't get any explosive plays, really. The Swift run of 20 yards would qualify. An end around to DJ Moore for, I think, 14 would qualify. And I suppose an 11-yard scramble by Caleb Williams would qualify as well if your benchmark for an explosive run is 10 yards. No explosive passes at all. And it's tough to make a living in the National Football League when you can't create explosive plays on offense. But Caleb showed enough moxie to not commit some of those plays that'll doom you, especially when you're trying to climb your way out of a hole, which the Bears were in that game. He did not turn the football over. And how many times do you see the young quarterbacks make those mistakes? We saw the other young quarterback, the second-round pick a year ago for the Titans, Will Levis, make a whole handful of very poor decisions at critical moments that flipped that game for the Bears.
Brad, how would you describe the halftime adjustments that allowed the Bears to stop the run better than they did during the first quarter, especially when they gave up 63 yards on the ground?
Yeah, the Titans were running the ball with pretty darn good success in the first half. I think they had 115 yards in the first half against a defense that was tops in the league a year ago, giving up about 85-ish. I don't have it in front of me, a game. Had a lot of success on that one drive. Tony Pollard, 26-yard touchdown run. They were going to the left side. It looked like they saw Austin Booker, the rookie fifth-round pick, was in there, and they were going to go right at him. It wasn't just him. Like, you look at that long touchdown run, he got handled. Jaquan Brisker couldn't get off a block. A couple guys needed to be better on that play, but looked like they got wider with their defensive ends there in the second half and tried to funnel the action back inside. And Tennessee didn't have a counter to that. The Titans did not have a way to combat that. And consequently, Tennessee spent most of the second half in second long, third and unmanageable, and that was going to be a very difficult place for them to be against that Bears defense, against that secondary, and against a pass rush that was pretty good. I think a total of 10 quarterback hits in the game for the Bears defense.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals. Available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And Big Z, Tavondre Sweat, is like a monster, man. That guy, it's unbelievable.
That's a monument in the middle of that Tennessee defensive line. Good pick by them, huh?
Oh, my God. I told David, any defensive lineman named Sweat, you just take him. You don't think twice about it. And Jeffrey Simmons is a great player. The Bears, the two of them helped wreak havoc, along with some blitzing linebackers, on the Bears' offensive line, and particularly on the interior of that line. And you wrote about the idea of Bates and Nate Davis sort of taking turns in a rotation. I don't understand why you're trying to figure that out now. I understand that they were, you know, the one guy missed the first half of camp, the other guy missed the second half. What are you going to do? Who's going to end up playing? And do you now have to figure out center position as well?
Well, they all needed to be better on the inside in that game, and I'll include Tevin Jenkins in that conversation as well. I thought from guard to guard they had a tough time. Now they're not going to see many defensive tackles as skilled as Jeffrey Simmons this season. He's going to be in the top three for sure in terms of guys they got to battle on the interior throughout this season. So that's a plus. They don't have a whole lot more big monsters that are going to look and play like him remaining on the schedule. Bates is a guy that you would imagine, based on the affinity that the organization has for him, tried to acquire him as a restricted free agent 2 years ago, traded for him this year. I think he's a guy that ends up in the starting lineup based on the fact that they really went after this guy multiple times. Now, originally, going into camp, it was billed as a competition between Ryan Bates and Coleman Shelton for the center position. When Nate Davis missed essentially the first half of training camp, they had to scrap that plan because Bates was over at right guard. And by then, you know, Eberflus sort of changed it to, well, we're going to, you know, it's a competition for all these guys, including Davis. So then you looked at it and you said, okay, what's that mean? Well, it looked to me like it was a three-man battle for two jobs. Davis, a guy that will play right guard, Shelton, a guy that will play center, and Bates, a guy that could play either. But that fell apart quickly because Bates then was shelved for essentially the second half of training camp with a pre-existing shoulder issue. So now you look at it and you're saying, okay, you got to identify the best five and you got to try to get them out there. Reality tells you just these six guys, the other starters and these three are going to be needed this season. So you get Bates and Davis going. I think you figure it out here in the near future. You decide on a starter at right guard and you realize whoever the odd man out is at some point, because you don't want to be rotating guards long-term, will be needed. It's just, that's the way it works. Jenkins has had durability issues. Davis has had durability issues. And we know about Bates' shoulder issue now. So all these guys are going to have to be relied on at some point.
Brad, yesterday when it happened, you tweeted out something that everyone in Chicago agreed with. Your tweet said this: at $23.1 million for the season, Keenan Allen needs to catch the ball on that out route at the goal line. No question about it. He didn't, of course. Is he injured? What did you think about his debut as a Bear? And where is that offense that we heard about through preseason? All these weapons, they were not utilized yesterday.
Well, he's got a heel issue that shouldn't affect his hands necessarily, but he had an issue on that. And he's the guy that was they traded for, and they're committing big resources. He's making all that money here in the final year of his contract to be that, you know, safety blanket almost for Caleb Williams. And I don't want to just call him that because he's more explosive than that. He's more dynamic than that. He's done a hell of a lot more than that in his career, but he's the crafty guy that can get open in the middle of the field. He can, you know, find a crease and an opening on third down. and help the young quarterback keep drives alive. And they went to him a lot yesterday, a game-high 11 targets, but he has just 4 catches, 29 yards. He needed to haul that one in. Caleb was off, too. You know, there were too many passes that, for one reason or another, were off the mark, were inaccurate. But, you know, they seem to indicate he's healthy. He did have a heel issue last year with the Chargers. You know, he's a guy that's missed some time in his career, and you hope that as a veteran he'll understand how he can manage it to get himself in a position that on game days he's ready to go. But he's got to make that play. And you know what? I mean, a second-year guy's got to make that catch too, not just a guy – that's had a decorated career like Keenan Allen. You got to make that play there at the goal line.
I'm curious, will there be a tryout at any positions on Tuesday? Maybe the center position.
Well, you're not going to find any centers that you want down at the offensive line store this week. They're not out there.
I thought it was a vineyard.
There's a sale today, isn't there?
Yeah, you can get them. You can get them marked off. They're priced to go, but they're there for a reason. They've been returned, and most of them have probably been returned multiple times. You know, so
can Kieran Amagaji snap?
I don't think we want to find out the answer to that question. You don't want to do that to a young guy that you think has a bright future. Coleman Shelton's a better player than Lucas Patrick, okay? And as Dustin said when I was getting queued up here, guys, that's a low bar to clear. I won't dispute that at all. He got caught on a couple bull rushes. That's going to happen in the center position, you know? Olin could probably tell you that much as well. I mean, he's not this hulking, huge center. They want their center to be an athletic guy that can get out in space and move, that can get to the second level. So you get that massive brawler-type guy there in the middle, and he'll be more stout against some of those bull rushes, but he's not going to be able to play in space like they want the guy at that position to be able to do.
So, Brad, this might be something that only concerns me. We talked about it earlier, but I wondered this.
Mac football?
Okay, we'll get to that. A little Mac-tion, good for the soul, Brad. Glad that you tracked down Thomas Hammack for your 10 thoughts. Well done. Good hustle. But we digress. 4th and 3, first series, the Bears punt at the 50. Later, they went for it twice in 4th down, converted both times. You see Brian Callahan, he went for it on 4th and 3 at his own 35. Mike McDaniel went for it on 4th and 8 down in Miami. I'm sure there are other examples. Today's NFL, full of them every week where head coaches go for it on 4th down. Did Torrey Taylor make Flus more likely to punt on 4th down and be more conservative and conventional than maybe he would be otherwise?
I don't think so. I that's a good question, but the 4th and 3 that I'm looking at, that was it, you know. That's with 12 and a half minutes to go in the first quarter.
Exactly.
They're in midfield. You got a rookie quarterback, and you feel like you can probably rely on your defense against the young Will Levis. So I don't think so. If it's 4th and 1 there, you know, that's a conversation I'd be more likely to jump into and like, hey, let's take a look at this. What about the opportunity here? I punt there with that defense going against Will Levis and that Tennessee team. I don't take exception to that. And I think you got to understand how Flus is wired as a defensive coach as well.
We didn't want to cut anyone, Brad, but David started with Phyllis Jones. So there you go.
Oh boy, you know, like they talk about the more you can, the, you know, you hear coaches and front office people say, well, the more a player can do, right, the more value he has. Well, the flip side of that is the less a guy can do, like the, you know, what are you going to do with them? And with Velas, we're determining there's less and less he can do. He can't return punts, right? He can't play wide receiver. And now you got questions about whether or not you want him back there on the kickoff. So how useful is he to your roster moving forward? And he had some roles on some coverage teams as well, and Flus tried to pump him up for, you know, running north and south, I think, with the few opportunities that he had there at the running back position. But that's just it's an unfortunate situation because you've got an athlete there with a world of talent.
4.31
talent.
4.31
in that package.
Yeah, in the 40.
It's the speed,
size,
the power.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like the total package. It just has not clicked for him as a football player. It really hasn't. And the Bears have put a lot of effort into it. And do they turn around and cut him? It wouldn't surprise me at all. But I don't think it happens. Not this week. I don't believe so. Saying that, you can't put him back on kickoff next Sunday night at Houston, can you?
Nope.
And if you can't do that, you can't have him on the roster.
He's not active.
Right, I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
But okay, what you have to answer, though, is how are you improving? If you're cutting him, right, how are you making your roster better? What do you need? What are you going to add? And they've got, everybody's got more flexibility than ever before with the elevations you can make from the practice squad. You saw the Bears use that for two guys yesterday. The long snapper, Scott Daly, Cowart, the defensive tackle who got some action there. So
you don't cut him, but you don't play him. You bring him to Houston.
Yeah.
Go enjoy the Galleria. That's it. But you're not getting on the field. You're not going deep on kicks. No way.
No,
you can't, especially with them having some pretty good, like DeAndre Carter had the second longest kickoff return in the league, 67 yards yesterday, and he had a 20-yarder on punt returns. Like they've got a guy, and they continue, and they've been doing it for a while now, and Chris Tabor was doing a great job of getting a different guy back there on punt returns on an annual basis and making some magic happen with them, and that's continuing now. With Carter, who's got more utility for them as a wide receiver than Velas did.
Oh,
good stuff, Brad.
You're the best, buddy.
And good hustle, seriously, getting Thomas Hammack. People want to read that, the Northern
and
Illinois
how
coach.
About that?
He'll be on tomorrow at 8:35. Go ahead, Brad.
8:35 tomorrow? Yeah.
8:25.
Okay, I'll be listening. But just a great win for them, and I had about a 10-minute conversation with him early yesterday morning when he was still in his office, and I say, hey, what's this mean for the program? And I don't want to spoil the conversation you guys are going to have with him tomorrow, but he just talked about what it means for the university as a whole and the hope that recognition for the program will mean increased enrollment and attention and all those things that'll benefit the university. And then the trickle down would be, it would help the football program. And so kind of a neat moment for the Huskies program.
Great stuff, Bigsy. Thanks, buddy.
Totally agree.
Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Brad.